This Weekend starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Weekend with your host, Gordon Deal.
Crunch time for Biden. I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
The Biden administration is in a race against the calendar to meet its goal of a 70% vaccination rate by July 4th, but the pace has really slowed.
The delay of the Tokyo Summer Olympics may have been bad for some athletes, but some competitors have benefited. We'll explain how.
A comedian thought it would be fun to hit a golf ball in all 50 states, but now he's facing federal charges after his stunt in Wyoming.
And sales of crawfish have taken off during the pandemic. The problem? Rookies don't know how to handle them.
One family who dumped the crawfish into a kiddie pool, thinking that that was, you know, a good way to store them, and then they just took off. One of the owners of the farm was describing them like linking together like Legos, like catapulting themselves out of the pool.
Rachel Wolf at the Wall Street Journal on crawfish boils complicating things for newbies. Well, President Biden has less than a month left to reach perhaps his toughest coronavirus vaccination goal yet. Mr. Biden's objective is to give 70% of the U.S. adult population at least one dose of COVID vaccine by July 4th, even as the pace of vaccination slows and those without their shots are increasingly hesitant to get them or are harder to reach. How can the administration pull it off? We're joined now by Morgan Chalfant, White House reporter at The Hill. Morgan, take us through this.
So as President Biden has done throughout his coronavirus response, he's set these benchmarks for vaccinations, which has kind of given his administration something to push forward to. It's very much driven by the data and driven by what's achievable, but also Biden's trying to, aspire to something. So this is his next goal. It's the July 4th. Deadline for nationally to get at least 70% of all U.S. adults with one dose or more of coronavirus vaccine. Right now, he's at nationally, it's about 63.5%, according to the CDC. But what we're seeing is there's quite a drop off in the vaccination rate, just because we're at this point in the country where we're oversupplied. There's so much supply and less people need the vaccine, yeah. Less people are going out and getting it. So what the administration is really focused on is incentivizing people that haven't gotten it yet that are eligible to get it, and addressing any concerns that people have about, the safety of the vaccines or other issues that they're concerned about. And just making sure that people have all the information that they need, and also people making sure that people that are, work and aren't able to take off from work or that live in a rural area, that they have better access and it's easy as possible to get the vaccine.
Yeah, because you're probably now have reached the toughest group, right? These last 7 percentage points. These are the doubters that are on the fence, or they're difficult to reach, or they've just flat out said, no, I'm not making the effort. This is a tough group.
Exactly, yes. And that's why you're seeing such a broad strategy by the White House. And of course, officials acknowledge that there's only so much that they can do and so much that they can control. A lot of this has to do with partnering with businesses for the incentive portion of this, partnering with states and local officials to make sure that they have what they need and, find other creative ways of getting vaccines to people that might, not be as motivated to go out and get it, or that might be wary of the vaccine itself.
We speak with Morgan Chalfant, White House reporter at The Hill. Her story is called Biden Hits Crunch Time on Vaccinations. The White House, as you probably know, is targeted July 4th for a 70% vaccination rate. That's either one or both doses, depending on the vaccine. There's been, I guess, no shortage of political buy-in recently, especially on the Republican side, right?
Right. Yes, we've seen some Republicans get out there and encourage vaccinations. One of the challenges that the White House really faces is the fact that there is this partisan dynamics when it comes to the vaccine. Republicans are more likely to shun the vaccine or not be willing to get it. And so it's important, you know, for the country to have Republican faces get out there and try to encourage vaccinations. But we're still seeing some of that hesitancy there. The White House is really focused on partnering with community leaders and local leaders when they're trying to target this group. That's local physicians, faith leaders. They think that people that are trustworthy in the eyes of voters are the ones that will be able to convince them that the vaccine is safe and that they should get it.
Anybody suggesting that the White House is spreading itself too thin, especially now as it starts to ship vaccines overseas?
I think that there's been a lot of a push for from health experts specifically on trying to address the global vaccination supply. You know, that's every health expert that I talk to talks about the fact that you're not going to end the pandemic in the United States unless you make sure that it's ended globally.
Thanks, Morgan. Morgan Chalfant, White House reporter at The Hill. Coming up next, who needs help paying for college? Hiring incentives get more generous.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be.
For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Determined to lure new employees and retain existing ones in a suddenly hot job market, employers are turning to new incentives that go beyond traditional monetary rewards. Nelson Schwartz, economics reporter at the New York Times, says in some cases, the offerings include the potential to reshape career paths. Nelson, the trend continues.
Yeah, especially for some of the companies that are hiring thousands of workers in junior to mid-level positions. It could be drivers at Waste Management, some are interns at Omni Hotels and their kitchen workers. They're giving out incentives, and some of them are life-changing, namely, college tuition 100% covered at Waste Management and at a meatpacking company called JBS, which is America's biggest meatpacker. And not only are they covering the workers themselves, but they're extending it to spouses and to children for college education and community college and for certificates in, in different trades. So, I that's what got me interested in the story. And then as I did more reporting, I discovered there's some smaller, lighter kind of incentives, but that were kind of interesting and amusing. Like Applebee's is hiring thousands of workers for its restaurants. They're giving a voucher for a free appetizer to anyone who'll sit down for an interview.
Wow.
And things like that really, have gotten people's attention.
Boy, the stuff from Waste Management is just astonishing. So they'll pay for college and up to one family member for college, which says to me, are they competing for drivers, I guess? Is that what they're looking for the most? What kind of folks are they looking for?
Yeah, they're looking for drivers and technicians, and they have about 20,000 drivers, and they basically say they can never have enough drivers. There's a lot of turnover, and the turnover is expensive. It costs them a minimum of $12,000 to, find and replace and train a new driver. Drivers have safer track records the longer with the company, so they want to reduce turnover for that reason too. And they decided to roll out this benefit, for the drivers themselves and for technicians. And then later this year, they're going to enroll children or spouses. And it really, there's a wide variety of institutions and degrees you can get. And, they're competing with Amazon, DoorDash, and a lot of deep-pocketed big companies for the same talent. So they wanted to do something to differentiate themselves.
It's remarkable. We're speaking with Nelson Schwartz, economics reporter at the New York Times. The story is called From Appetizers to Tuition, Incentives to Job Seekers Grow. And we're also seeing signing bonuses and now, I believe, as you said, retention bonuses if you stick around for, I don't know, what, 4 months, 6 months.
Yeah, at Omni Hotels, if you're a summer intern, you're a college student, and you stick around, you get a retention bonus at the end of the summer and guaranteed admission to the company's leadership training program. So, you know, they've raised salaries, but they're trying to give other incentives. Like for people working in the kitchen, as I mentioned, they get a free set of knives. And they get one-on-ones and advice and mentoring from the executive chef. So they felt like basically they are raising wages and giving bonuses out, signing bonuses too, but they wanted to do something that was non-cash to get people's attention. It seems like for young people, for college students, you know, cash is not enough.
Boy. When does something like this slow down? I presume that waste management can't go on offering these generous college payment incentives forever, right? Or can they?
Well, they could. They basically modeled it out, and they say it'll cost $5 to $10 million a year, which is definitely affordable for a company of waste management size. As I mentioned, you know, they feel like it can, I don't know if it'll completely pay for itself, but it'll help pay for itself in reducing turnover and filling these jobs. And, you know, the jobs pay well. You know, they're not minimum wage jobs. I mean, the salaries vary by geographic area, but, you know, waste management has been very profitable. Stock has done well. You know, drivers get full benefits in 401k. So I think basically for the next few months, you know, in this sort of suddenly tight labor market, I think you're going to see them continue to do this and do more of it.
Thanks, Nelson. Nelson Schwartz, economics reporter at the New York Times. Coming up next, the athletes who benefited from the Olympics delay. When you start a small business, you do it because it's something you love, but it brings new challenges you might not have thought of, mainly HR. HR compliance issues can cause complex problems that, let's face it, you don't have time for, and it's got to be done right or it could destroy your business. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. Get a dedicated HR manager available by phone, email, or real-time chat to craft HR policy and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. And there's no risk. It's month-to-month with no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. Bambee's dedicated HR managers will know your business and your specific concerns no matter what state you're in. With Bambee, you'll have peace of mind and never worry about HR compliance again. For the first time ever, Bambee is offering a free trial at Bambee.com/Gordon. Bambee.com/Gordon. This is their best offer ever. Start your free trial at Bambee.com/Gordon. Well, dozens of young athletes have seen their hopes of punching a ticket to the Tokyo Summer Olympics skyrocket thanks to an extra year of training, growing, and getting stronger. More from this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka.
We heard a lot over the past year about athletes who suffered because of canceled competitions, but there are some who have actually benefited. Here with more is Lane Higgins of the Wall Street Journal. Lane, who are some of these people who improved over the pandemic period?
By and large, the people that benefited the most are actually the youngsters, in that a lot of them needed this extra year to grow, to keep getting better, to keep getting stronger. And across several sports, we've seen a lot of teenagers and, you know, people in their young 20s kind of start to displace the rankings, where some of these older competitors that maybe would have been shoe-ins for the games had they happened in 2020, you know, at some point age does come up or does catch up to you. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of changing of the guard that maybe would have happened a little bit sooner than we anticipated now that the games are a year later.
Can you give us a couple of individual examples?
Of course. So on the men's gymnastics side, there is a Stanford gymnast named Brody Malone, who has really just been on fire in recent competitions and is now, I think, a favorite to make the men's team. And in the pool for Olympic trials that started over the weekend, but the fastest wave of them starts on Sunday, there's actually a couple of teenagers, one of which is this woman, or I guess girl, named Claire Curzon, who's 16, and she has the third fastest time in the world in the 100 butterfly right now. And her last meet before the world shut down was on March 8th, 2020, and she since dropped almost 2 seconds off her time since then. And for someone that was already that fast, it's pretty remarkable. And, you know, it's gotten to the point where instead of racing against these people that she's looked up to and being intimidated, she's beating them and is maybe even a gold medal threat.
And Lane, your story talks about the fact that Curzon was able to do more weight training because she wasn't allowed to get in the pool.
Yeah, and there was actually a handful of swimmers that, you know, didn't have the benefit of having people offer a backyard pool to them immediately, like some of these established Olympians, where they were either training in a neighbor's, you know, 15-foot backyard pool, so something tiny, or forced to find other ways to work out. And Tori Husky is another teenager that's like that. She's 18. She lives in Arlington. And she had to basically improvise because she didn't have access to a pool for almost 2 months. She was on the rowing machine. She did some spinning. She did some weight training. And I think a lot of that's showing up in the pool because they're stronger and more powerful. And Husky and Curzon, in both of their events, are sprinters. And that's the exact event in swimming where you really need that power to be generated. And, you know, when you're in the middle of a growth spurt, it's hard to really be that powerful and bulky. So I think both of these girls really benefited from having to sort of mix up their training in a way they didn't anticipate.
We're speaking with Lane Higgins of the Wall Street Journal. Lane, your story also mentions the fact that some, I mean, we know what kind of a year it was for college athletes. It was crazy, but some of them actually benefited because they were able to compete in their sport in college.
Yes, and that's the case for Brody Malone, in that the Pac-12, where he competes with Stanford, actually had some meets, and he was able to kind of get that under his belt and to be able to compete in NCAA championships this spring. And I think that that's actually, for swimmers, I know that's also been the case for women's gymnasts, for some of these beach volleyball players, like across the board, there was more regular dual meets or smaller competitions where they could kind of test their skills and sharpen them than for some of these pro athletes, where a lot of these international invitationals that they usually go to just weren't happening because of travel restrictions.
Are we going to see a lack of big names in the Olympics because of some of the more experienced and older athletes that kind of missed their last year? They weren't able to compete and they're just about done for.
I mean, it's possible, but you look at someone like Simone Biles, and even though she wasn't really competing, she's still throwing down even harder things and tricks than she ever has before. So she's obviously a household name. And, you know, I think there are some athletes that, with any Olympic cycle, you're just going to age out, where you're going to be a great athlete but not be able to, you know, qualify and compete. And that's the case in beach volleyball with Kerry Walsh Jennings, how she, I think, is now just about to miss, or I don't know if there's any more path for her to get into the Olympics, even though she's been to five. And, you know, on the swimming side, Michael Phelps had his large retirement tour in 2016 and obviously is not competing this time around. So I think there's definitely going to be a little bit more turnover in that regard, where some of these athletes that we came to know as very, very dominant that were in, you know, three or four Olympic cycles are now just at the point of either retiring or, as you know, as we mentioned, with the Olympics getting delayed a year, just kind of aging out.
That's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka with Wall Street Journal sports reporter Lane Higgins. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka coming up this half hour. How riding a bike is like managing retirement money. Also, crawfish boils are hard for rookies. We'll have examples. And the risk of hitting a golf ball in Yellowstone National Park? The feds pressing charges. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Well, there's an eyebrow-raising technology buried inside millions of Amazon Echo smart speakers and Ring security cameras. They have the ability to make a new kind of wireless network called Sidewalk that shares a slice of your home internet connection with your neighbor's devices. This past week, Amazon turned on Sidewalk for everyone. Giving the thumbs down to the idea is Jeffrey Fowler, technology columnist at the Washington Post, which is owned by the founder of Amazon. Jeff, take us through what Sidewalk is and does.
Yeah, Sidewalk is a new kind of network, that wireless network that Amazon is making, that's designed to connect up smart home gadgets, security gadgets and devices, tracking devices, and also maybe some other things that Amazon hasn't said yet. And it's that last part that makes it a big question mark and a concern for a lot of people.
Yeah. One of them being you. You're not a fan of this. How come?
I'm not a fan of it for a couple of reasons. First of all, Sidewalk, the way it works is it takes your existing Amazon devices, your Echo speaker, your Ring cameras, and it switches on their ability to take a little bit of your home's internet connection and share it with people around you. And Amazon did this, switching it on as of Tuesday, without asking people's permission first. It just did it and then gave you the option to opt out if you so wanted. But of course, most people aren't going to dig around in the settings to do that. So that's the biggest reason I'm concerned about it. But I've got some others. Another one is, we don't really know how secure it is yet. It's creating a new kind of wireless network, and Amazon says that they've triple encrypted it, which is great, but it's not really been tested, you know, at scale before. And so there are just some question marks about that. And most of the smart security folks that I know say, gosh, it doesn't sound like a good idea to open a slice of your home network to others. And then last but not least, you know, we don't really know what Amazon's totally building here, right? Like, certainly, if you join Sidewalk and you share some of your internet connection with your neighbors, you're going to enable them to, you know, maybe add more Ring security cameras and surveillance devices. And already some people are pretty uneasy about the idea that Amazon and their Ring business is building out Big Brother across many, many towns and communities. What else is Amazon going to do with this? Is Amazon going to use this network that only it controls for its own business? Is it going to use it to track packages? Is it going to use it to track its drones that it's told us that it's going to send out over our cities? So there's just so many questions here that Amazon really needs to answer I think folks should turn it off until we get some really good answers.
All right. I envision maybe a worst case scenario. Maybe it's unrealistic, but by sharing my network through Amazon with my neighbors, like they potentially could see like my banking login and password.
Yeah, so this is one of these open questions that we have about it. So that gets to the security question. So the information that Sidewalk passes through your network, what's more at risk is actually the data coming from your neighbors, the ones that are joining your Sidewalk network. We don't have any reason to believe that Sidewalk would, you know, necessarily expose the traffic on your internal home Wi-Fi network. But again, these are all big questions.
We're speaking with Jeffrey Fowler, technology columnist at the Washington Post. He's taking a look at this new feature from Amazon called Sidewalk, in which it shares your internet connection with neighbors. So how do you opt out?
Yeah, so first of all, you need to have one of these eligible Ring or Echo speaker devices in your home for Amazon to even give you the option. So which ones are eligible? Well, unfortunately, it's a really long list that I can't rattle off here, but it goes back to Ring and Echo devices from 2018. I've got a fuller list in my column on the Washington Post, and then Amazon has the full list on its website. So you have to make sure you have got one of these devices that's eligible. And then if you do, if you go inside your Alexa app, and then you find your way to settings and then account settings, inside of there, you will find a Sidewalk network setting, and you'll have to switch that off. I've got a little graphic where I show you what to tap on in my column at the Washington Post.
Boy, do you get the sense that others may do something like this, other companies like Amazon, which provide these devices?
Yeah, it's a really good point that, you know, Silicon Valley has big designs on creating networks that go beyond what the cell phone carriers have.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeffrey Fowler, technology columnist at The Washington Post. Coming up next, why managing money is like riding your bike, especially near retirement. As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. How is riding a bike as you approach your retirement age similar to managing money as you get closer to your golden years? In-depth analysis from Jonathan Clements, founder and editor at HumbleDollar.com. Jonathan, what's the comparison?
So, Gordon, I started bicycling seriously in 2005 when my feet started giving out on me, and so I turned to bicycling as an alternative. And since I started bicycling in 2005, I've had 6 accidents, the most recent of which happened 2 weeks ago. I was rolling through the streets here in Philadelphia. I didn't have a stop sign. I rolled into the intersection, and right in front of me appeared this van. And I T-boned it into the side, and of course, fell off the bike and ended up with what cyclists called road rash. Cuts on my elbow, bruises on my hip, cuts on my knee. And it was a reminder at my lofty age of 58 that I should probably start being more cautious about the way I exercise. And similarly, when it comes to managing money as you grow older, you should also start to be more cautious about how you invest. So, you know, I've long been a pretty fearless stock market investor. I've had a high percentage of my portfolio in stocks, and I still have a high percentage of my portfolio in stocks. Whenever we get a big market decline like we did early last year, you know, I step up to the plate and I buy with vigor. But I'm reaching the point where even if though I'm happy from a risk tolerance point of view to buy at these times and to have a stock-heavy portfolio, it probably does not make sense in terms of where I am in my life, in terms of the fact that I am on the verge of retirement.
What was your point, though, about diminishing ability? Because, like you said, you tend to be aggressive.
Right. So not only we tend to we should be more cautious as we grow older, both our portfolios and in the way we exercise, but also, you know, we're confronted with, you know, diminishing ability. You know, we cannot do the things physically that we used to do. And, you know, as we get further into retirement, often, you know, we cognitively decline. I mean, there's been studies that show that people's ability to manage their money start to decline gradually starting at age 65. So faced with that, I've been doing 2 things. One is last year when I bought a new house, I traded down to a smaller house, one that I could see living in for the rest of my life. There aren't too many stairs. It's small. It's easy to keep up and so on. But second, the thing that I've been starting on is to radically simplify my portfolio so that even if I do suffer some cognitive decline in the decades ahead, I should still be able to manage my own money.
Interesting. We're speaking with Jonathan Clements. He's the founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com. I think you ask something that we all ask ourselves as we try to save for retirement, and that is, how much money is enough?
So this, in a sense, Gordon, goes back to the issue of not only, you know, rising caution, but also about diminishing time, the fact that we just don't have as much time left on this earth. And so when you say how much is enough, that's really both an investment question and a career question. When do we decide, okay, I've earned enough money over my career and it's time to sort of step off the gravy train and enjoy the time that I've left? Similarly, in terms of our portfolio, when do we stop focusing on having an ever larger net worth and instead say to ourselves, okay, I've amassed this pile of savings, maybe it's time to enjoy it?
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Clements, founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com. Coming up next, rookies having a hard time with crawfish boils. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness? We're all dealing with a lot right now. I'm sure you feel the same kind of added stress I do. Then you should know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Schedule weekly or monthly phone or video sessions or whatever works for you. BetterHelp
wants you to start living a happier life today. That's why there's a special offer for This Morning with Gordon Deal listeners. 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gordon. That's BetterHelp.com/Gordon. And join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Gordon. Hey, glad you're with us. As a rule, crawfish from the Fruget family farm never went far in life. This season, though, more of them are landing everywhere, from San Francisco to New York City, including households with no clue how to handle the crustacean, which arrive still kicking, much less how to cook and eat them. Rachel Wolf at the Wall Street Journal paid a visit to Branch, Louisiana. Rachel, this all started with a viral TikTok video of a crawfish boil.
It really took off from there at Fruget Family Farms. They saw their server crash in like 30 seconds when their social media manager, Justin Stalecracker, posted a video of how to do your own crawfish boil, and people all over the country just went crazy for it.
Wow. All right. So these folks in Louisiana start shipping live crawfish to places like San Francisco or New York. And what happens? These folks, I guess, are not expecting that these crawfish are live when they open the styrofoam box.
You know, people are just sometimes out of their depth. I think that they, you know, do know in theory that they are getting a cooler full of live crawfish, and the idea of that happening and the reality once you are suddenly responsible for one family who dumped the crawfish into a kiddie pool, thinking that that was, you know, a good way to store them. And then they just took off. One of the owners of the farm was describing them like linking together like Legos, like catapulting themselves out of the pool.
That is funny. So, but they come with instructions, right, on how to prepare them?
They do. They come with instructions. They come with spice blends. These companies really try to set people up for success, but sometimes people can't be helped.
Wow. All right. So I guess I'm amazed, first of all, that the crawfish can survive shipping. How's that done? Do we know the finer points of that?
Yeah, it's interesting. It was one of the things that I was most curious about because, you know, I think people have a hard time believing that, you know, they can survive the journey from Louisiana to New York. But basically, they, as soon as an order is placed, they're scooped out of these ponds where they're raised. And then within between 12 and 24 hours, they arrive at your doorstep. So they get loaded into these ice chests with these, you know, cold packs, and then put on a plane, then, you know, taken off the plane onto a truck right to your porch. The whole thing happened so quickly. The miracle of modern logistics.
What's the best way to prepare them? Anybody share a secret? Is it like you need a hard boil or, you know, like a simmer? Is it a length of time? What's best?
You know, you don't want to overboil or underboil them.
Thanks, Rachel. Rachel Wolf, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, the man in trouble for hitting a golf ball in Yellowstone.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Well, a man's mission to hit a golf ball in all 50 states in 30 days has run into a snag. 29-year-old Jake Adams, a comedian and avid golfer, wanted to attract publicity for himself. He started in California, teeing up a drive toward the Hollywood sign from Griffith Park in Los Angeles. He was posting videos to Instagram. In February, Mr. Adams pulled off a state highway outside Holly, Colorado, near the Kansas line, and smacked a golf ball into the Eastern Plains. He used his putter on the basketball court at Xavier University in Cincinnati. in Rhode Island. He had to hit a wedge to get it up over a railing along the Providence River. On day 25, he arrived in Wyoming in the afternoon and drove into Yellowstone National Park. He parked, pulled a wedge from his bag, and whacked two golf balls. The National Park Service is now investigating. He could face 6 months in prison and $5,000 in fines. Separately, he's lawyered up to fight those charges. Meanwhile, he's taking his act to Europe to hit one ball in every country in 30 days. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.